This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Before we get into the topic of the khutbah, it is imperative that we look at some of the etiquettes of Yawm al-Jumu'ah and attending the masjid on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, because there are many incidents that occur and have occurred in the past where people are actually talking during the khutbah while the khatib is talking. And if a person talks, even if it is to say shh to the person sitting next to him, then he has nullified the reward of his Jumu'ah. It doesn't mean that he has to pray over again or pray dhuhr in place of Jumu'ah, but he diminishes his reward severely for just saying a small word to somebody sitting next to him, even if it's his child. So you need to be absolutely silent on Yawm al-Jumu'ah when the imam is talking. That goes for males and females, young and old. However, there is an exception for those who are working security. As there's a fatwa from the Lajna Daima in Saudi Arabia where they have mentioned that those who are working security, they have the right to talk because there is the pros of that outweigh the cons. However, they should do it in a manner that does not disturb the khatib and those who are listening to the khutbah. So if they are outside and they need to direct people outside in a manner that does not affect the khutbah, then that is fine. That goes for cell phones as well. You brothers should turn your cell phones on silent and listen attentively to the khutbah. After that, and before again getting to the topic, it is from the great mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is a favor that needs to be thanked by each and every one of us, that we are here in the masjid on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. And I say that because it took a lot for many of you to get here for Jumu'ah. You had to convince your employer that this was something that was your religious duty. Or you had to schedule your own schedule. That is, if you work for yourself, you had to make Yawm al-Jumu'ah and coming to the khutbah a priority. And that is something that each and every one of us should be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal that He blessed us to be here. And it's something that maybe many of us take for granted because we go to Jumu'ah every week. But it's not something to take for granted. It's something that we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, that He has blessed us to be here today, because there are other people that put their work over Jumu'ah and they don't come to the masjid for Jumu'ah or whatever other thing they have going on. And Jumu'ah is the second thought and whatever else they're doing is the first thought. So the fact that you are here today is a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great blessing and favor from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the favors of Allah azza wa jal upon this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that the good deeds that a Muslim does are increased, multiplied 10 to 700 times, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us. So every time a Muslim says subhanallah and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's written down for him 10 to 700 times. Every time he prays Jumu'ah, it's written as if you have prayed 10 to 700 Jumu'ah. But if you commit a sin, then that sin is only written as one sin. And this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ummah, so that our scales will be heavy, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, on the day when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's important, because this act of ibadah, this act of worship that is upon us now, that is the blessed month of Ramadan, which inshallah ta'ala will begin on Sunday. We'll begin fasting on Sunday. Tomorrow night we will begin praying at Taraweeh, inshallah, after Salatul Isha. This month that is upon us is the month of fasting. And Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah Azza wa Jal said, "Kullu amal ibni Adam lahu illa as-sawm, fa innahu li wa ana ajzi bih." Every act of worship, of devotion that the son of Adam does is for himself. It's for him. Except for fasting. Fasting is for me. This is what Allah Azza wa Jal says. Fasting is for me, and I reward the fasting. This is collected by the Imam al-Bukhari. In another narration of that same hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it was added, Al-hasanatu bi'ashri amthaliha ila sab'imiyati di'fin. Except for fasting. So every good deed that a person does is multiplied 10 to 700 times except for fasting. Fasting is for me, and I will reward it. And the scholars of Islam, rahimahumullah, they have different ways that they interpret this hadith. From those ways is that, what does it mean that fasting is for Allah? It means that it is the act of ibadah, that there is no riya in it. There's no way to show off when you fast. Because fasting is the intention of the heart. The word sawm in Arabic means al-imsak. It means to refrain from something. So it's not like salat. When you're praying salat, everybody knows you're praying. When you are giving zakat, the people who are receiving the zakat, they know you're giving zakat. When you are making hajj, everybody sees you making hajj. When you're fasting, who knows you're fasting? Nobody. Only you know for a fact, in terms of the human beings, that you are fasting. And Allah Azza wa Jal, of course, knows whether or not you are fasting. Because a person, it could be the daytime in Ramadan, and he could have went in a room by himself, he could have gone in a room by himself, eaten some food, and come out and act like nothing even happened. Even when a person makes wudu, he can swallow water and act like he's still fasting. So fasting is the one ibadah that requires us to leave off something, to refrain from doing something. And this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah tells us that except for fasting, fasting is for me, and I am the one that rewards the fasting. For this reason, we see that this month of Ramadan and fasting, the month of Ramadan, it nurtures the Muslim upon ikhlas, to have sincerity in all of the worship that you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have to keep this in mind as Ramadan comes, that Ramadan is much more than simply not eating or not drinking or not having spousal relations in the daytime. Ramadan is much more than that. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in an authentic hadith, "Man lam yada qawl az-zur wal 'amal bihi wal jahl falaysa lillahi hajatun fi an yatruka ta'amahu wa sharabah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever does not leave off false witnessing, yani lying, and acting according to that, in indecency, then Allah has no need for him to leave off his food and his drink. Allah has no need for that. And now we look at this hadith, because Allah Azza wa Jal does not need any of our worship in the first place. He doesn't need any. He doesn't need you to fast. He gains nothing. Allah Azza wa Jal has the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and if you fast, it's not going to increase that, and if you don't fast, it's not going to decrease it. So Allah does not need your fast in the first place. But here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informing us of what the actual objective of the fast is. So, if you do not leave off lying and indecency, then Allah Azza wa Jalla has no need for your leaving off food and drink. And this is why one of the famous companions, Jabir ibn Abdullah, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, said, إِذَا سُمْتَ فَلْيَسُمْ سَمْعُكَ وَبَصَرُكَ وَلِسَانُكَ عَنِ الْكَذِبِ وَالْمَآثِمِ. If you fast, then the fast is not the fast of the stomach. Let your hearing fast. Let your sight fast. Let your tongue fast from lying and sin. This is what he said, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is prophetic advice. When you fast, it's not enough that you wake up in the morning for sahur and you eat a meal and then you don't eat again till iftar. But during the day you lie and you watch things that are haram on the television or on the internet, and you listen to things that are haram and you say things that are haram and you do things that are haram, and then you break your fast. And believe that that is what is required of you. That is what it means to fast in Ramadan, that I just don't eat or drink anything from sunup, from dawn, which is Salat al-Fajr, until Maghrib, until sundown. And that was a slip for me, that sunup to sundown, because that's how some of the literature says, and that's a mistake that many Muslims who read that type of literature fall into, especially new Muslims. We don't fast from sunup to sundown, we fast from Fajr until Maghrib, which is dawn until Maghrib. But the point here is that a person's sight has to fast. His hearing has to fast, because this is the way that we attain a taqwa. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jalla prescribed the fasting. He didn't prescribe fasting so that we can get hungry. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us in the hadith, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَا هَضَّ لَهُ مِنْ سِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. Perhaps there's someone who fasts, but he gets nothing out of his fast except for hunger. But Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't want that for us, because he told us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it has been prescribed for those who came before you. Perhaps you may attain taqwa, so that you can attain taqwa. And what does taqwa mean? We usually translate it as the fear of Allah. But taqwa is much more than that. It is to worship Allah upon knowledge, hoping for His reward, and to leave off disobedience to Allah upon knowledge, hoping for His reward. So taqwa is closer to what we would say as being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, if a person fasts correctly and he leaves off lying and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will be more conscious of Allah during his fast. He will be more likely to do those things which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave off those things which are displeasing to Allah. Why is that? Because a person, Allah Azza wa Jalla, created us with a natural desire for food and drink. That's natural. A baby comes out of its mother's stomach wanting nourishment. It's something that we are created. Likewise, a person has a natural desire at a certain age to procreate. What do you do during the daytime of Ramadan? You leave off those natural desires that you have. By leaving off those natural desires willingly leaving them off, you are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will leave off those other aspects of disobedience which you don't naturally crave, but that your lust and your desires and other things that society may have around you create that desire inside of you, but they are not natural desires that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you upon. So this fast, when we leave off food and drink, those things that we naturally desire, then we are more likely to leave off the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those things that we don't naturally desire. And as the month of Ramadan is coming, I want to remind myself and the rest of you who are listening with some reminders, inshallah ta'ala, that are practical, that we can take with us to prepare properly for Ramadan, which we only have one more day to get to. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who reach the month of Ramadan while we are healthy and in good iman. The first thing is that fasting is obligatory. It is a pillar of Islam. And it is obligatory upon every Muslim who is sane, has reached the age of puberty, is not traveling, and who has the ability to do so. Now, this is something that may seem obvious to most people. We know we all have to fast as Muslims. However, this issue of the age of puberty is important. Because many of us, especially those of us who come from this society here, and were raised in the United States, then we look at adulthood as being 18 or 21 or whatever other numbers they put on it. What we need to understand as Muslims is that once your child reaches the age of puberty, then he is responsible. The angels are recording his or her deeds. One on the right and one on the left. And those deeds are being recorded and they will be held accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So we should stop treating them as kids. Oh, he's just a kid. And it's a long day. And he doesn't need to fast. Even if he has not reached the age of puberty, the same way we train our children for salat, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us, when they reach the age of 7, tell them to pray. When they reach the age of 10, if they're still not praying, after 3 years of training them, then there's time for physical discipline. At that particular point, that they are physically reprimanded at the age of 10. The same thing when it comes to fasting. When the children reach the age of 7, encourage them to fast. And if they can't fast the entire day, then let them start the day with you at Fajr and go to where they can't go anymore. And then build them up. But do not wait until your child, and subhanAllah, especially with the girls, who usually reach age of puberty before the boys. Don't wait until your child has reached the age of puberty, and then all of a sudden now you tell them, yeah, you have to fast. You have to fast because it's the month of Ramadan. And they don't have any experience fasting. And then they come and, but the day is long. It's 16 hours of fast, and it's hot, and it's humid. And you've done a disservice to that child. Because once they reach the age of puberty, they are accountable for their deeds in Islam. And so we need to start raising our children as young men and women. Stop treating them as kids. They're kids until when? Treat them. Treat them as young adults, because once they hit the age of puberty, they are responsible. The second thing that I like to mention is that we should all be aware of the virtues of the month of Ramadan. This month of Ramadan is a month of forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a month of mercy. And all of us, without exception, have things that we need to be forgiven for. We've done things. And if you think that you haven't done anything wrong, then that is a sin in and of itself. Because you think that you're purer than what? The angels? So subhanAllah, we all have things that we need forgiven. If we don't take advantage of the month of Ramadan to do that, then when? When do we start? You see, the non-Muslims, they'll make New Year's resolutions on the 31st of December. And by the 2nd of January, they're out the window. They wanted to lose weight, and on the first, on New Year's Day, they were pigging out. But as a Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jalla, subhanahu wa ta'ala, scientifically, they say that it takes 21 days to create a habit. The month of Ramadan is 29 or 30 days. And we can create the types of habits in Ramadan that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will take us to Jannah. As some of the Salaf used to say, a salah, praying, will take you halfway there. And fasting will take you to the door. That is the door of Jannah. And sadaqah will allow you to enter. Ramadan is a time to build those habits that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala will continue with us until after Ramadan. And some of you have experienced this. Some of you at the beginning of last Ramadan had a goal. You wanted to pray every night, for example, Taraweeh. And then after Ramadan, you continue to pray witr. Or you continue to pray the night prayer all the way up until this year. Or till this Ramadan. And so you create habits during Ramadan that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala will last with you until the following Ramadan, until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an important point because none of us know when that meeting is going to come. And we shouldn't treat Ramadan as just something like, okay, I'll get it together next Ramadan. You might not have a next Ramadan. That brother that you guys buried in this city 2 weeks ago, he didn't make it to Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. But he didn't make it to Ramadan. But he was in Shaban. He was right there. And then all of a sudden, a heart attack. And he wasn't even 50 years old. So the point is that we don't know if this is going to be the last Ramadan or not. And so we need to take full advantage of the opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to fast this month of Ramadan and to stand in prayer. And that's my third point. And that is to make every effort to pray Taraweeh every night. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Man qama Ramadan, man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Whoever stands in prayer for the month of Ramadan, Allah will forgive for him everything that has proceeded from his sins. Just for standing the month of Ramadan. How long is Taraweeh? 45 minutes, an hour? For 30 nights, 29 nights? To have all of your sins forgiven? So this is something that every Muslim should strive to do, to pray Taraweeh every night in Ramadan. However, I recognize that there are some of you who work early. Staying in the masjid late may not be feasible for him. Or some of your schedules, if you stay late, you might miss suhoor, whatever the situation may be, you have to be the one to weigh your own situation. But I will say this, and this is something that is from the fiqh, from the subtle understanding of Ramadan. Ramadan is about the last 10 nights. The first 20 days of Ramadan are prep for the last 10. We need to get this concept down. Because in those last 10 nights, there's a night that is better than 1,000 months, and it's called Laylatul Qadr. And you would be unwise to go all out during the first 20 and burn yourself out, and then the last 10, you're just waiting for the Eid. That would not be wise. And so a Muslim has to pace himself and recognize that the race is won in the last lap. So pace yourself. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal for his aid and assistance in helping you to pray the nights of Ramadan and to fast during the day. This is something that's very important. But you may find that practically, you can't really do that. So space it out. But during the last 10 nights, you need to go all out. And the Muslim, subhanAllah, as we find many people, they take vacation days for whatever. For whatever. Family vacation. They want 2 weeks off of work. So they can go on a family vacation to whatever and probably do something that's not permissible for them to do anyway. Or for their anniversary or whatever else people celebrate. But when it comes to the last 10 nights of Ramadan, nobody thinks in advance, let me see if I can get those days off of work so that I can spend those days in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spend those nights in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it's one night, Laylatul Qadr, khayrun min alfi shahr, is better than 1,000 months. The worship that you do in that night, there's no other night like it in the year. And the one who is deprived of worshiping Allah azza wa jalla in that night is the one who is truly deprived. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. The last thing that I mentioned, inshallah ta'ala, so that it can be fresh, and that it can stick in your minds, is that the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal said, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. And being the month of the Quran, it's important that we understand how those Muslims who were successful before us used to live. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, or rather Allah عز وجل says in the Quran, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Allah عز وجل says in the Quran that the messenger said, Oh my Lord, the people, my people have taken the Quran in abandonment. They have abandoned the Quran. And to clarify what that means, the scholars of tafsir say that whoever does not read the entire Quran, not who doesn't pick up the Quran once a month, whoever doesn't read the entire Quran at least once a month has abandoned the Quran. See, what happens a lot of time is we come during Ramadan, and that's when we read the Quran, we read the juz every day, and we think we're doing something. But that's normal. That should be normal behavior for the Muslim. Because the Quran, this is not some inspiration given, so-called inspiration for Matthew, Mark, Luke. No, it's the word of Allah. This is not some letters that Paul wrote. This is the word of Allah and the virtue of the Quran upon all other speech is like the virtue of Allah over his creation. And so the Muslim's life has to revolve around the Quran, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it is critical that in the month of Ramadan that the Quran be with you. That it is something that you use your hours of the day. There's no such thing as being bored in Ramadan. That's impossible. Because if you are awake and you are not doing something, tending to your family or doing those things, those needs, you should be reading the Quran as much as possible. And when we talk about reading the Quran was revealed in Arabic. And the reward that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talked about when he said for every letter that a person reads, he gets 10 rewards. That is talking about reading the Quran in Arabic. Some of us have been Muslim for 20 years, for 10, 20, 30 years, or even longer, and still have not learned to read the Quran in Arabic. And that's okay. Let what passed, passed. However, you should not let this Ramadan go by, except that you make an effort in earnest, to learn how to read the Quran in Arabic. It is really not that difficult. Alhamdulillah. There's 28 letters. You learn them and you learn how to put them together. Two ways usually. Al-Qa'id al-Nuraniya, or Al-Qa'id al-Baghdadiya. And we have brothers, wallah alhamd, in this community and in other places in the city who will take the time to teach you that. Bi-idhnillah. And if you take a step towards Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will take more towards you. And if you walk towards Allah, Allah will run towards you. Know that. Know that. You have to make that first effort though. You have to make some effort to learn how to read the Quran. If that simply is not feasible for whatever reason, don't let that deter you from reading the translation of the meanings of the Quran. And walillah alhamd, we also have now available in the English language an abridged version of Tafsir ibn Kathir that will help you to further understand the meanings of the Quran. The point is to use the hours of your day in Ramadan. Listen, this has to be your goal, to read the Quran as much as possible. And if you were the type that used to read, for example, a juz a day, then don't do that this Ramadan. At least finish the Quran once in the first 20 days and once in the last 10. That way you have finished twice. And then the next time Ramadan comes around, you increase in that. Because you have been reading the Quran all year. This Quran, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unchanged, unadulterated. This has to be part of the Muslim's life. We've gotten caught up into a whole lot of other things. And we read a whole lot of other things. and we read all types of social media and news and all, make the Quran part of your life. I'm not saying you can't read that, but that's not your priority as a Muslim. The Muslim's priority has got to be to what did Allah Azza wa Jal reveal that book to his prophet for? So it can sit on the shelf? So it can sit on the shelf and collect dust? Or did he reveal it to his prophet? The main objective of the prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was to pass that message on to the ummah. And then we just let it sit? Or we only visit it in Ramadan? And then we read the juz a day and we really think we're doing something? Muslims, this is not appropriate. This is not appropriate manner in dealing with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah azza wa jal to aid us in reading his book and implementing it. And closing, in the last piece of advice, inshallah ta'ala, practical advice, is to make sure that you do your best to have suhoor every day. Suhoor is very important. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Tasahharu fa inna fi suhoori barakah." Eat the meal of suhoor, that pre-dawn meal, because in it is barakah. Okay, now, this word barakah, a lot of people use it to mean reward, but that's incorrect. The word for reward in Arabic is ajr. I want ajr. I want reward for this. Now I want barakah. Barakah means that something is established and it grows. Al-istiqrar ma'anumu wa ziyada. That something is established and that it grows and develops. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this meal is blessed, it is mubarak, there's barakah in it, it means that even if it's a little bit, that it is established inside of you and it grows. So that a Muslim, and you can verify this for yourself, when you eat suhoor in Ramadan, mashallah, it lasts you throughout the day. Yeah, you might start feeling a little hungry at Asr time, but you're not starving. On regular days, like today, you eat at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning. By Dhuhr time, you're starving. You feel like you have to have lunch. You need a break. But in Ramadan, it's different. When you eat that suhoor, there's barakah in it. So make sure that you make every effort to wake up on time and have suhoor. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged this, and he mentioned that in it is barakah. And we ask Allah azza wa jalla to make this the most blessed and productive Ramadan ever for all of us and for all of the Muslims. Allahumma balighna ajma'in shahra Ramadan. وعنا على القيام والصيام وأصلح ذات بيننا وألف بين قلوبنا واهدنا سبل السلام ربنا آتنا في الدنيا